This sermon was recorded at the Church of Christ, Northwest Arkansas. We are Christians seeking to worship God in spirit and in truth, according to the New Testament. Come worship with us Sunday mornings at 10:30 at 1708 Elm Springs Road in Springdale, Arkansas.
It is a great blessing to be here before you to speak on God's Word this morning. Thank you for the prayers on my behalf, and it's my prayer that we're able to benefit from this lesson that I have presented for you as I present it. The Proverbs has a lot to say about children obeying their parents. As we just read earlier, the son is being told to keep his father's commandments. You see, this honoring your father and mother, this topic seems so elementary, and I thought so too. But you see, there is so much to take away from this fifth commandment that God has given us, stuff I never realized, which is why, so it is wise to honor our parents. Such as how can we be a better influence, how they can influence us to be better people in society. I'll talk about ways that we can honor our parents and how it's not just up to the child to honor this command. But first and foremost, let's talk about why we need to honor our parents. First and foremost, it is a command from God. You see, after Moses led the nation of Israel out of Egypt, they were in the desert. That's when God gave them the law. The law of Moses, the law of God, however you may have heard it. These were the laws of the land, the laws that would run the nation of Israel. The Ten Commandments. It goes like this: Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Honor thy father and mother. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. You see, right in the middle, God tells them to honor your parents, honor your father and your mother. In Exodus 20, verse 12, it says, the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You see, this is certainly nothing new to many of us. Many of us have heard this, the Ten Commandments, growing up, especially living here on the Bible Belt. We hear it all the time, but that doesn't always mean we obeyed it. And you see, there's a tendency among the youth to be disrespectful, to be disobedient towards parents, talking back, ignoring, disregarding rules and boundaries, using rude and inappropriate language towards our parents. You see, as young people, we thought of our parents as old, outdated, out of touch with reality. They don't know anything. There's this quote that I came across that says, when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in just 7 years. You see, as teens, we thought we knew everything about everything. But the older we get, the wiser we became. We begin to understand what our parents were going through, where they came from. You see, all the ridiculous things we did as teenagers, stuff we're not proud of and stuff we hope our kids never do. So back to the old law. The old law was the law of the land. And as some of them came with severe punishments. Consequences, right? Just as we have laws in this land that demand the death penalty, they had those as well. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 21, verses 18 and 21, saying this about a disobedient child: if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place, and they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of this city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shall thou put away evil among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Keep in mind, this is not just a one-time offense. It's not you forget to take out the trash one day and off to the elders you go, you're gone, see ya. This is a constant disobeying of parents. And the parents keep correcting the child, but the child keeps disobeying and regarding their rules. That's when they bring them before the child, before the elders, I mean. So if you were a rebellious, a glutton, a drunkard, which were all sins, by the way, the Bible tells us that child was to be put to death, which actually got me thinking of the prodigal son. You see, this is just a story that Jesus used to make an example of the love and mercy that God has to the Pharisees. In the parable, the son took all of his inheritance, went off to live riotously in a foreign land, doing who knows what. But you see, when he came back, the son was broken. But the father, instead of receiving what that son was supposed to get, which was death according to the old law, the son received love, grace, and mercy, and was received as a king by his father, which is good news for us as well, because we are no longer under this old law. You see, we now receive love and grace and mercy from our heavenly Father. The old law was done away with. You see, for the old law was just a shadow of things to come. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:1, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect." The Hebrew writer says that even though they offered sacrifice year after year after year on the Day of Atonement, it wasn't enough to make them perfect. It couldn't get rid of all of their sin. You see, there's only one way to do that, and which is what the old law was doing. It was pointing us to Christ. The Bible says in Galatians 3:24, "Therefore the law was our schoolmaster." It was our teacher. It was showing us, it was pointing us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. See, the Old Testament was there to show us, to teach us how wrathful, how just, true, how pure, and how holy God truly is. It was pointing us to Jesus and showing us just how much we need him and how we can't do this by ourselves. We can't save ourselves by our own works. It was also, the Old Testament was also done away with when Jesus died on the cross. The Bible says in Colossians 2:14, "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." You see, Christ did away with that old law when he died on that cross. He made the Old Testament void, of no effect. So what does this mean for us? Does this mean we no longer have to obey our parents since the old law is no longer in effect? Well, of course not. Paul reinforces the children obeying their parents. In Ephesians 6, 1 and 3, the Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth." You see, Paul reminds us that we still need to obey our parents. Then Paul tells us that we may live a long life. Now, when I first read this, I was thinking maybe a little too spiritually and thinking about living eternally. But Paul says it right, that we may have a long life on the earth. You see, as young children, we don't have that great of common sense. We don't really think things through. We have the scars, the broken bones, and the stories to prove that. As a child, I tended to get up on the counter when mom was cooking, and time and time again, she would tell me, "Don't get near the stove because you'll burn yourself." And I didn't listen. I eventually got up there and touched the stove and burned myself. I have the scars to prove it, or the scar to prove it. You see, I got hurt in the process of not obeying my mother. You see, but I got away with it easy. There are many children who disobey their parents that don't have it that easy. Our parents tell us not to do drugs, not to go drinking, not to drive recklessly, not to go running out on the road. They say these things because they want us to be safe. They want us to see us live a long life here with them. Think of how many children lose their lives to drunk driving. How many teenagers lose their life to reckless driving? How many people die from drugs every day? Our parents say this because not because they don't want us to have fun, because they want us to be safe. there's ways to have fun without putting our lives or our bodies at risk. So if we want to live a long life, it is best to listen to our parents. Remember as well, God still takes his command seriously. Look at what Paul says in the book of Romans. In Romans 1, 28 and 32, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." Look at what is right there in the middle of all of those sins. In the middle of murder, debate, haters of God, inventors of evil things, the unmerciful, disobedient to parents. God is not pleased when we disobey our parents. Another reason it is important to honor our parents is because it determines our relationships. It determines our relationship with our neighbors, but also our relationship with God. They are both very similar in these aspects. Let's look at the similarities. Our parents gave us life. They brought us into this world. We wouldn't be here without them. We are also made in the image of our parents. We share the same DNA. Oftentimes, the child is a spitting image of one of the parents, and if not, at least a combination of the two. We are dependent upon our parents for everything, for the food we have, for the clothes on our backs, for the roof over our head. God gave us life. And the Bible says in Genesis 2:7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." God ultimately gave all of us life, just as our parents gave us life. We are also made in the image of God. The Bible says in Genesis 1:27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." We are created in God's image. We are also dependent on God, right? The Bible says in Genesis 6:32, For after all these things do Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. We are dependent on God for everything. And we must remember that it is in the home that we learn about respect, where we learn about love and obedience. These are all the things that God desires from us in our relationship with him. Solomon, in all his wisdom, said, love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and keep his commandments. But some might say, I'll honor God, but I just can't honor my parents. You see, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know how I was raised. And that's true, but the scripture doesn't say honor your father and mother only if they never discipline you, if they do everything you like to do, if they never make you do chores. It doesn't say that. If we want to honor God, we need to honor our parents. But some might say God is the Almighty God. They're just my parents. Well, let's look at this passage as an example. In 1 John 4:20, the Bible says, "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen?" How can we honor God when we can't honor our parents? It just doesn't work that way. Honoring God means honoring our parents. And this may be hard, but Jesus tells us time and time again to love our enemies, love those who persecute you. Remember, we are called to be image bearers of Christ. It also determines our relationships with our neighbors. It is in the home, like I said earlier, that we learn about respect, about love, and about obedience. When we leave the home, when we're out in the workforce, when we're out in the world, it's where we apply these things that our parents have taught us about respecting other people, respecting our coworkers, respecting our managers, our teachers, whether they're deserving our respect or not. It's also in the home where we learn about love, loving our spouses, our children, even our enemies when we're not in a loving mood. It's where we learn about obedience, being obedient to the authority of those that are appointed over us, the government officials, the police officers, anyone who is appointed over us, we must learn to be obedient to them. So what are some ways that we can honor our parents? Well, first and foremost, we can obey them. Jesus is our example in everything that we do and everything that we should strive to be. You see, even Jesus obeyed his earthly parents. The Bible says in Luke that Jesus went to Jerusalem for the Passover feast with his parents, and Joseph and Mary accidentally left him behind. But he was okay. He was in the temple with the scribes and Pharisees. He was teaching them, or he was asking questions and answering questions with the rabbis and the teachers. And these guys were astonished at what this 12-year-old boy was able to understand and tell. Mary and Joseph eventually found him. And Mary told them, "Why have you done this to us? We have been losing our minds over where you were." And Jesus replied, "Why did you have to find me? You know I have to be about my Father's business. I must be in my Father's house." You see, Jesus knew why he was on earth and what he was doing. He was going to his Father's house to be about his business. Yes, Jesus is the Son of God, but remember, he is also the Son of Mary. In the very next, in Luke 2:51, the Bible says, "And he went down and then with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them." Jesus was subject to his parents. He was submissive unto his parents. He obeyed his parents. So let us be like Jesus and honor our parents. So what are some ways that we can learn to obey our parents? First, we can be respectful. Listen to them. Don't roll your eyes at them when they tell you to do something. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I mean, I'm coming into the age when I ask people a question and they reply with yes, sir, or no, sir. And I think, man, what a respectful young man. And then I begin to think about how old I am. And then I'm, man. But we can also do your chores when their parents tell us to do it. Don't linger around. Don't procrastinate and not do them. And don't make them ask twice as well. And find ways to help your parents. Be a proactive member of the family. If you see that the trash is full, go ahead, take it out. If you see dirty dishes in the sink, wash them. If you see a pile of laundry, fold them, put them away. There are so many more ways that we can obey our parents. We must also show our parents love. Here, there was a famine going around in Jerusalem, and Paul and the other apostles were not apostles, but leaders of the church were going around collecting funds for the brethren that were in that famine. And Paul talks about the Macedonians, about how they were giving so much. They were giving beyond means of everything they had. But he tells in 2 Corinthians, the Corinthians, to prove their love by how much they give, or by giving. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8:24, "Therefore show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf." You see, they were proving their love by giving to the brothers that were in need. And we as children can prove our love to our parents by obeying them, by doing what they tell us to do. We can also take care of our parents when they are in need. This is another case where Jesus is the best example. I mean, as Jesus was giving his final breath on the cross, he made sure that his mother was taken care of. In John 19:27, Jesus said, "Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. As Christians, we are told to put others before ourselves, especially our parents. Remember, our parents have done everything for us. They have provided all our necessities. They have given us everything. Who we don't want to be like is the Pharisees. And the Bible says in Matthew 15:1-11, "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. You see, these Pharisees, instead of providing and helping their father and mother with whatever profit or whatever gain they had received, they gave it to God. And in turn, they didn't have to honor their father because they were honoring God instead. So when the parents came to the child and asked him, hey, I need some help. Can you help me? The Pharisees would go, I can't help you. I already gave everything to God. Go to the temple. They'll help you with whatever you need. You see, and that's just not fair. Remember, when we have the duty and the command to honor our father and mother by taking care of them. Another way we can honor our parents is by communicating with them. This may be more towards the older kids, and it still applies to the young kids, but talk to your parents. Talk to them about your day. Talk to them about your problems, especially. Whether it be by phone, text, email, even write a letter if you have to. I mean, it seems like once we get a little bit of independence, we have a tendency to forget about our parents. Not in a bad way, but, you know, life happens. We have jobs, we have bills, we have spouses, children to worry about and take care of, that we kind of put our parents on the back burner. Children, our parents want to hear from us. I don't know if it's a guy thing or me and my dad thing, but our phone calls are very short. I call him up and he's like, hey, man, how are you doing? I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing? I'm doing good, too. All right, man. See you next time. Talk to you next time. I don't know what it is, but that's just how we talk. But just hearing your voice is all a parent needs sometimes. And sometimes it is all the child needs as well. So talk to them because they won't always be here with you. And that is true. Many no longer have their parents here with them, so they can't take care of them. They can't show them love. They can't communicate with them. So how can they honor their parents? Well, simple. It's by becoming the person they want you to be. The book of Proverbs has many things, as I said, but in Proverbs 23, 24, and 25, the Bible says, the father of the righteous shall rejoice greatly, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. The Bible says that a wise child will bring great joy to the parents. A great example of this is my mother. My mother taught me how to be a loving husband. And one thing that I constantly think of is buying flowers for my wife every chance I get. My mother told me this because she knew her time on here wasn't very long. She knew she wouldn't have much time with me. But she also said this concerning herself. She would say, why buy me flowers when I'm gone and buried? There's no point. I can't enjoy them anymore. So bring me flowers while I'm here with you so I can enjoy them with you. You see, that's the thing we need. We need to honor. The greatest honor we can give our parents is becoming the kind of adults our parents want us to become. Being successful, not just financially, but spiritually, especially. Living near a strong congregation. You see, many kids, as soon as they're 18, they leave the house no longer. They move to the big city or wherever without considering the church. Seeking only the money, seeking only the job, seeking only the pleasures. We can honor our parents by being good, making good godly decisions, marrying a good godly wife or spouse. These are things that will make a parent proud. We must keep in mind that it's not only up to the child either. The parent has responsibilities as well. You see, as a parent, we will be and should be the biggest influence to our kids. A great example of this is Timothy. And in 1 Timothy 1 and 5, the Bible says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." You see, so his grandmother and mother had a great influence on Timothy. It was such a great influence that Paul had to tell us about it in the scriptures. But you see, it started from a young age, because later in the letter, Paul says this about Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy was taught the scriptures from a young age, and we must be an example to our children, just as Timothy's mother and grandmother were to Timothy. We must teach them at all times. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 11, verses 18 and 20, "Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates." The Bible tells us, teach the children at all times, every chance we get, when we're sitting on the couch, when we're walking down the street, when we're walking down the grocery aisle, when we go to bed, when we wake up. Write it down, put it on the post-it notes in their lunchboxes, put a note on the fridge. We need to teach them to love the Lord and to keep his commandments any chance we get. That's what the Bible tells us. You see, children are empty vessels and will soak up whatever is poured into them. So let's pour the love of God and his commandments into our children. Another thing, we must be parents worth honoring and obeying. Paul gives this warning to parents and to fathers in Ephesians 6:4. "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." We want our children to obey us, and they're commanded to, according to God. But that doesn't give us a right to be a tyrant and demand such unreasonable commands of our children while using fear to order them around. Yes, they'll obey you, but only out of the fear of what you will do, not because of the love that you have for them, which will eventually to anger, to wrath, and to sin in the child, and to so many more problems down the road. As soon as they're 18, they're like, "Hey man, I'll see you. I no longer want to hear from you, talk to you. Don't communicate with me in any way." And that's what we see out in the world today. As soon as kids are 18, they're gone, out of the house. I like how Paul calls out the fathers here, though, because earlier in the letter, he talks about the husband and the wife and how the husband is the head of the family, the Christ figure of his household. You see, Christ doesn't rule his church using only fear. He uses love and fear. Yes, we fear the punishment that we'll get when we disobey his command. But when we do obey, we obey it out of the love for Christ, out of the love that he showed us, and not solely out of the fear of punishment. So love your wife, love your children as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Another thing to keep in mind, it is not always the parents' fault for how the child turns out. There's a story of two brothers. One was a drunk and the other was a successful businessman who was well respected in society. And some people wanted to find out how these two brothers from the same parents brought up in the same house could be so different. The first one was asked, "Why is it that you do what you do? What motivates you? Why are you a drunk?" And he replied, "My father." Like, what does your father have to do with this? You see, he replied, he said, "My father was a drunk. He did everything wrong. That's just what I was made to be. That's just who I was. That's just what I am. It's in my DNA." So they went to the other brother and asked him the same question. "How come you are doing everything right? What is your source of motivation? Why do you do what you do?" And he said, "My father." You see, he said, when I was a little boy, I saw my father drunk, doing all the wrong things, and I made it up in my mind that I did not want to be like him. Eventually, the child has a choice to either follow after righteousness or to follow after sin and pleasure. We have all been given free will. And know that it is not law that when we could literally do everything right in the child, and it is not law that they will turn out good. You see, for a good kid can come from bad parents, and a bad kid can come from good parents. It is all up to the child. A good illustration of this is shooting an arrow. I really got into archery for a little bit. And the Bible talks about children being arrows in the quiver of the parents. You see, you can set up the perfect shot. You can be well balanced. Everything can be going right for you. As soon as you can have your sight on the target, be right there, bullseye. But as soon as you let go of that arrow, that is no longer up to you. The winds can come in and blow that arrow way off target. The temperature can throw that arrow way off target as well. It is not the parent's fault always for how the child turns out. So ultimately, how does God see this when we obey our parents? Well, God is well pleased. Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. Now, to do a quick recap of everything, honoring your father and mother. Why? Because it's a command. It is a command from God. It helps our relationship with God and our neighbors. Honor them by obeying, by caring for them, by talking to them, communicating with them, by becoming the person they ultimately wanted you to become. Remember, it is not one-sided. Parents, we also have a responsibility to be a godly influence, to be a parent worth being honored and obeyed. And at the end of the day, it is not our fault. The child has free will to do what he pleases at the end. So some questions to think about while as we leave here, for maybe for our next study as well. Study for yourself as well. Why is it important to honor our parents? How can I honor parents? How can I honor my parents? Examine yourself. Am I honoring my parents as well? Do I respect them? Do I love them? Do I obey them? That is today's lesson. I hope it was beneficial to you, and I hope you get a little bit more understanding about what it means and why we need to honor our father and mother. I know I gained a lot of information from this study. And at this time, we offer the invitation. If anyone needs prayers from the church, come to the front row while we stand and sing.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching from God's Word. If there's anything we can do to help you in your walk with Christ, send us a message at facebook.com/CFCNWA. To find more sermons, look for us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and like our Facebook page. Thanks for listening, and God bless.